Hello, everyone. This podcast is the first of a series which focuses on specific questions that we've received over the last few months about how to apply the amendments for retractable or mandatorily redeemable shares issued in a tax planning arrangement. As a reminder, the amendments were issued in December of 2018 and are effective for periods beginning on or after January 1, 2020. Now, when the amendments were issued, we also did a full-hour webinar, which is available on both the CPA Canada and the FRAS Canada websites. If you haven't already, we encourage you to first watch the webinar for a more detailed overview of the amendments before listening to these podcasts that address more specific interpretation questions that we've received. So let's get right into it. There are three conditions that must be met for retractable or mandatorily redeemable shares issued in a tax planning arrangement, and we'll call them redeemables from here on out, to be classified as equity. First up is the control condition. Armand, can you remind us again what this condition is about and the questions the board has been getting?
Okay, one sec. Okay.
Here we go. Absolutely. But before we get into the control condition itself, I wanted to point out that the board has provided an exception to liability classification for redeemables based on three conditions. In setting these three conditions, the board attempted to create a principled exception to the definition of a liability. But at the end of the day, any exception to the definition of a liability is a rule. As a result, the board expects that a relatively narrow set of circumstances should qualify for equity classification, where principally nothing of substance is changing. Let's keep that in mind as we consider the questions that have been received. Now on to the first of those conditions around retention of control. The control condition in section 3856, paragraph 23A, reads, "Control of the enterprise issuing the redeemables is retained by the shareholder receiving the shares in the arrangement." Simply put, if Company A issues redeemable shares to Company B in a tax planning arrangement, Company B needs to have control of Company A before and after for the redeemables to qualify as equity. So how do you apply the control conditions? Two questions we received are, first, does control of the enterprise that issued the redeemables have to be held directly, or can control be indirect? Secondly, does the enterprise that controls the issuer of the shares have to be the same enterprise that holds the redeemable shares? Now, I think you have some examples for me to work through.
Yes, I do. So let's start with this one. Parent company owns 100% of two holding companies, A and B. Holdco A has 40% interest in Opco, and Holdco B has 60% interest in Opco. Holdco A engages in an estate freeze transaction and exchanges its 40% common share interest in Opco for redeemables. Now let's assume that the new voting shares for the 40% interest are issued to Holdco B, which now has 100% of the votes in Opco. The question arises, do the redeemables issued by the Opco to Holdco A meet the control condition for equity classification? Armand, what factors would you consider to assess the control condition in this scenario?
Okay, great question. Here are some things that immediately jump out in this scenario. If we look at the transaction from the perspective of Holdco A, it only has 40% ownership of Opco. Therefore, it does not control Opco before or after the transaction. However, if we look at it from the perspective of Parent Co, nothing of substance has changed because Parent Co still indirectly controls 100% of both Holdcos and by extension Opco. I want to point out here that if you refer to Section 1591 for guidance on control, you'd look through Holdco A to Parent Co and determine that control of Opco is indirectly held by Parent Co. There is nothing wrong with considering indirect control when making the assessment. Now, is that rationale enough to say that control is retained and the condition is met? It could be, as nothing of substance has changed from the ultimate Parent Co's perspective. But wait, The second half of the condition says control is retained by the shareholder receiving the shares. So you have to ask yourself, who is receiving these shares? Holdco A, which has a minority interest in the parent company, or the... The second half of the condition says control is retained by the shareholder receiving the shares. So you ask yourself, who is receiving the shares? Holdco A, which has a minority interest in Opco, or the parent company? Considering all of these data points, it's important to use some judgment here to look at where the weight of evidence lies. There's a strong case to be made that nothing of substance has changed, particularly from the perspective of the parent company. At the same time, there's also a strong case to be made that the shares aren't held by the parent company, which has control of Opco. Considering all these data points, it's important to use some judgment here to look at where the weight of evidence lies. There is a strong case to be made that nothing of substance has changed, particularly from the perspective of parent company. It could be said that the parent company indirectly holds the redeemables. At the same time, there is a strong case to be made that the shares aren't held by the parent company, which has control of Opco. You have to make that judgment call given the facts and circumstances.
That's a lot to consider there, Armand. But how about a slight variant to the scenario you just highlighted? Now, here's one that could occur on transition. So very similar set of circumstances as before, but initially, parent company held all the voting shares in Opco, and there were no holding companies. Now, after a few tax planning arrangements, parent company now holds redeemables in Opco, but its ownership interest in Opco is held through holdcos A and B. Are these redeemable shares equity or liability in the Opco?
From a control perspective, control of Opco is indirectly held by parent co, which, as we said before, is appropriate to consider in the context of Section 1591. The shares are held by parent co, which is the entity that controls Opco before and after the tax planning arrangement. Therefore, the weight of evidence suggests that control is retained, and therefore the redeemables are classified as equity. Overall, when looking at the control condition, judgment needs to be applied, and it is important to consider all the facts and circumstances of the tax planning arrangement before reaching a conclusion on whether the control condition is met or not.
Well, that brings us to the end of our first podcast. Thank you for listening. Be sure to check out the other podcasts in the series on the other conditions for equity classification of redeemable shares.
There's a couple stumbles.